Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host. I'm here to tell you that this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers who love our jobs, and because we want to keep our jobs, we are going to remain anonymous and use pseudonyms, hence the Elvis. Now, this is a special thank you for all of our Patreon donors. If you'd like to become one of our Patreons, you can go, and for the cost of $5, you can get some awesome Teacher Needs a Drink swag and extra episodes of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast that are only available on the Patreon feed. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Lud Lamb Dramatics. If you need educational theater posters for your classroom or for the back of your Zoom screen, go to ludlamdramatics.com. That's ludlamdramatics.com. That's Lud Lamb Dramatics. They have all kinds of great theater posters. And if you have a story you'd like to share with us at Teacher Needs a Drink, you can tag us on our Instagram or Facebook, or go to our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. Share through the contact form. Please follow, share, subscribe, leave a review, all that good stuff. And the best way you can help us, other than joining our Patreon, is just find one person and tell them about something you heard on our podcast. Enjoy!
When I was little, I went to the beach with my grandparents, and I didn't know what a jellyfish was, and I thought it was a balloon. And I picked one up.
God, no.
And I was screaming and crying, and my granddad couldn't tell what the problem was because I couldn't articulate, and so he just poured his beer out on my hand.
That's what my papa used to say.
Because you got
apparently
kiss.
Pissing on them doesn't actually help.
Really, it's just fun. All right, well, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and with me today I have the wonderful Buddy O'Hare.
Hi, Elvis.
Hi, glad to have you. And also joining us today is Miss Shirley Temper.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, Elvis.
Doesn't it, though? And joining us with his delightful, upbeat, optimistic attitude, Mr. Turd Ferguson.
Drop a deuce, moving on.
Ew. Gross. You're responsible for children, man. Ew. And also Miss Sparkles.
Hey, y'all.
Holy fuck. I have a parent that annoyed the piss out of me. I complained about this parent a few weeks ago because they demanded an alternative assignment after all the alternative assignments and a world of alternate assignments when I bent over backwards to make this lesson.
Yes.
7 weeks in, she emails me that she really likes the idea of this lesson, but they're not going to watch any videos unless it's in a specific format. So could I reformat all my videos? Because she doesn't want her child to watch it outside of G Suite. And I was like, you know what? I made alternative assignments for her because she demanded, and they did not do the alternative assignments. I am definitely not going to go and reformat a shit ton of videos and spend a whole day just so they can ignore those too. So yeah, go fuck yourself.
Here's the thing that I'm starting to see more and more of, because as we get closer to the ends, I'm getting more parent contacts saying, you know, well, we weren't notified about this. We weren't told about this. And I'm just like, we send out, or at least on my part, I send out a weekly video. Granted, last week I didn't get one out because it was just that kind of week. But I mean, I'm getting kind of tired of all these people that are just like, well, we didn't get this, or no, it was sense. You just didn't pay attention, and now your kid's about to fail, and you want to try to bring this shit to my door. It's just, I'm getting tired of this shit.
Now, I've had a lot of the sending in assignments way, 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 way after the date, but like to the point where it's almost ridiculous that you're asking questions at this point. And there's no grade, there's no motivation unless they really enjoy the subject matter. And I hope they do. One of the schools I'm working with, well, actually almost all the schools I'm working with, I'm doing a school project where they could volunteer to kind of do like a Zoom play where everyone gets assigned a part. And so for 2 weeks, like back in April, I like had, okay, if you want to do this, sign up, send me a message. And I got a list of 20 kids. I had a cutoff date. And now it's time for the kids to turn in like a video of them reciting their lines. And I just now had a kid send me like, hey, I want to be in this. Where the fuck were you for the whole last month when I've sent out almost like every emails every other day and posted it in the Google Classroom?
That's kind of the equivalent of showing up after the team has been chosen, like showing up to like going up to the coaches after they've already picked the team and being like, I wanted to try out. Sorry about you.
my district, we got wind today that the seniors were planning to wait until the last day of school to turn all their work in. But what they don't realize is, like, they're allowed to be done with their work this week. Like, they're basically allowed to be done with school this week if they turn everything in. Yeah, I know. They're about to play themselves real hard if they wait till the last day, because also we're doing a socially distant graduation 2 days after school gets out. And if you show up to socially distant graduation and you didn't turn all your work in, you're going to be turned right back around if you fail the class that you need to graduate. So these poor cheerins, they are playing themselves just a smidgen.
Talking about graduation, we are doing this. Oh, it's just, I know it's for the best. The district that I work for sent out, you know, a questionnaire. Here are options. One of the options was to do, you know, a traditional mass graduation, but probably in June or in July when things were a little bit safer and in our stadium outdoors. And then the other one is one where they can come into the auditorium and five people can come with them and they'll be recorded. And it's just a lot more convoluted. And I'm under the impression that everyone voted for the mass traditional graduation, but the powers that be have selected the really convoluted one, and people are not happy. There are petitions going around, but for the teachers, it means that we are being asked, in parentheses required, to sign up for this long day. It's supposed to be like 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., is the graduation day. Can you imagine?
That's ridiculous.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, you can sign up for 2 hour shifts. You know, again, in parentheses, these are the expectations. And because it's in the auditorium, it's just, I can't imagine how the traffic is going to be, like the foot traffic and making sure that people are social distancing. And I have a headache, a preemptive headache about that.
I can't imagine that's not even 12 hours, what Ms. Shirley was talking about, like a 14 hour graduation for just the admin who are involved, who have to wait as each person's called and they take their name. And God forbid someone shows up late or their parents don't show up on time or they're waiting for their grandma before they walk out. It's just going to be a clusterfuck. I can't even imagine.
From Reddit, it is by Got a New Watch Today. It is titled, Only 10 Students in a Class, ... Policy and Politics. Does anyone else get extremely frustrated when administrators and people in media keep saying, next year we may only have 10 students in a class next year, or we might be teaching students 2 days a week online and 2 days in class? People really think parents or grandparents are going to be able to stay home with students 2 to 3 days a week instead of going to work or pay for childcare. Also, on the education end, students forget what we teach them yesterday. How are they going to pick up a lesson after a full day at home? The whole proposal is completely unrealistic, and I have no idea how it's even being considered by people and not immediately being thrown out the window as ridiculousness.
I don't think there's any way in hell we're going to do like a 2 days on, 3 days off. Now, in Texas, they have floated, I think, three possibilities or three suggestions they'd like districts to consider. One of them's a move towards year-round school.
Yep.
Another one's where it's more increment, where every 6 weeks there's like a week in between. Now, I think all of these are great as opposed to the traditional model of burn yourselves out, take 3 months, forget everything, then go, 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 burn yourselves out, restart. I kind of like the idea of a more continual cycle. I think that's a great idea for schools to get their shit together. But if you're in a school system that doesn't have their shit together and likes to start fresh every year, this could be a bad idea. But I don't know. What do you guys have? Turd.
So my thought on the matter is, going off of the calendar that you were speaking of, where it's nearly all year round, is I'm trying to figure out the logistics of how would we put up certain extracurricular events. And I'm not just talking about the one that I'm responsible for. How is that going to affect all the sporting events? How is that going to affect everything that takes place outside of the class? In addition to just the classroom itself, this whole 10 kids to a classroom, there's no way in our school with our population, I mean, unless we're supposed to like start teaching multiple classes in courtyards and then gyms and cafeterias. And yeah, I just don't understand why anyone thought that 10 to a class was even a possibility.
It's a beautiful idea. I've worked at private schools where they have like an optimum class size of 15 or class size of 15 students or less. And it really is a dream to work with. But most schools aren't going to want to pay the money to hire competent teachers that would be able to, you know, to fill it out for their populations. They're not going to want to expand to have enough rooms for that. Now, I know we're throwing a lot of money at things right now, but I don't see the government, DeVos, wanting to pay school districts to expand their buildings unless she has like a... Maybe she has a construction company. She could do it.
Say it's a nice idea, but I mean, my school is at capacity. And even if we... I mean, like if we go to 10 in a classroom... A, even with that, we're not going to be able to sit them far enough apart from each other. And B, we're still, I mean, it wouldn't even be every other day. It would have to be like you come to school one day a week in order to accommodate the numbers of students, the amount of students that we have and the amount of space that you have, that we have. I mean, it was kind of like you were saying, like, I have heard the idea of high school going that direction, like elementary still being full-time, like in school, you know, because of the childcare thing, but then letting high schoolers do kind of a blended program or something. But then, I mean, then it's like Turd said, it's, you know, runs into problems with extracurricular activities and sports and all kinds of things. And it's just, I haven't heard anything that sounds like an ideal solution yet. And I don't think there probably really is one. It's going to suck no matter what goes on.
I personally, in terms of like what we're going to see when we go back, I'm not opposed to the idea of a year-round schedule similar to what my friends teach, which is they have 6 weeks and then they have a week off every 6 weeks. And they still have, like, they get 3 weeks off for winter break. They still get a full week for Thanksgiving. They still get spring break. Like, they still get all the usual breaks, too. And then they still
but
get,
they like, don't suffer the brain drain though, that we have when we lose 3 months.
Right. Cause they get like 6 or 7 weeks off for summer. So it's like just enough to get a nice break, get away from everybody, get a little taste of freedom. And then they get the kids kind of right back in, but they don't have a problem with it. Cause like when we're kind of in the doldrums of misery, in October, they're about to go on their first break, their first week-long intersession break. And I can see the positives for that in a COVID situation where it's like, we know we've got this time built in where if the state shuts down or whatever, you know, kids are already out or we're able to kind of finagle the schedule and those weeks off can turn into, oh, we're back in school because you had 3 weeks off or whatever. I'm really worried about August. Did you guys see that thing for choir teachers and like band teachers where it's like choir kids are super spreaders and you may not be able to sing in choir class for a year or two until there's a vaccine?
I heard that. And my, my work bestie from my previous school is a choir teacher and she was really distressed, like heartbroken about
it. Ours too. Our choir teachers are really like, you know, choir and band and orchestra, those kids are really close together.
Yeah.
And so those teachers are really like worried about figuring out how they're going to conduct class in person. And then I'm thinking about like my musical next year. Well, I can't have kids singing on stage and spitting on other kids. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of issues that are as yet unforeseen.
Entirely selfishly. And I acknowledge that I had a kind of mini breakdown earlier in the week because I don't know if I'll ever like when or if or whenever to go back to my church choir. That was something that I did every week. And we were a really like close-knit group and just singing together. And we had a brilliant music director and just, it was something that fed my soul was singing and creating music with these people. And bye. Like it was depressing on a personal level. So it's depressing for the teachers. It's going to be depressing for the kids who want to be singers. Like, it's distressing.
It's a mystery what we're going to get. And I can't imagine, you guys can sing. Just do it with a face mask. It'll sound just as good. We promise. Or if you're the genius that invents a microphone that goes into a face mask really cheap, boom, bang.
it's super interesting that this came up because I had a Zoom meeting yesterday and it was by my department, and my department chair said, hey, I need you guys over the summer to think about what it would look like if we were still distance learning the first 6 weeks of school. They haven't heard anything. It's not official, but her reasoning is, hey, let's get ahead of this. Let's just figure out what that would look like just in case, so that we as a department aren't like the ugly bridesmaid in the wedding party that sticks out like a sore thumb. There's some sort of, oh, hey, they've got their stuff together. But I'm not going to lie that, we all hate that. We all hate it because we want to see these kids. We want to meet them. We want to get to know them. And you know, it's nearly, I can't imagine what that would look like. So...
It's hard enough doing distance learning when we have at least a basis of a relationship with the students. I can't imagine starting the year distance learning with almost never seeing a child face to face. And if you have some of these students that are reluctant to take a video or put a picture of themselves up, how are you going to bond with the student if they're just watching videos? I mean, I know some teachers are great and can be really charismatic when it comes to making a video and be a little YouTube star, but not all teachers are like that, and not all kids are actually going to watch the videos, especially when they're kind of done and they've been inside all summer. I don't know. I don't want to dwell on that because it's almost not a worst possible situation, but I guess that is a possibility.
This is from the Reddits posted by Why Hannah. I don't know. I just don't understand what I'm doing wrong. So my high school drama department is very small. We only put on one show a year, and the rest of the year, we just have a drama club. When we have a show, the cast tends to be backstage crew, hair crew, and makeup crew as well. I do enjoy it being small because we all get along. However, it means that the same three people tend to get leads. I've only been ensemble except for my sophomore year where I stage managed the show. I will be a senior next year, and all I want is to not be in the ensemble. But the director, who is also the drama teacher, tends to pre-cast, and she isn't the biggest fan of me. I just don't understand what I'm doing wrong. I've done drama class all my years of high school. I've always been actively participating in shows and drama club. I've always been quick to help with anything needed, and I can act and sing. I just wish I could have one year where my name isn't hidden in our program among the names of the rest of the ensemble. Can relate. I know when I was in high school and I wasn't, and in college too, and I wasn't getting the roles I wanted and the roles that I felt would stretch me. And I think that's the ultimate issue with it is I was never given a part that was really a challenge for me, except for when I played Lady Capulet in Romeo and Juliet. And that was my sophomore year of college. And then the rest of the time I wasn't getting things that I felt were helping me grow as a performer. And I feel like in an educational setting, this is the time and the place for us to let the kids have those opportunities. What's hard for her department is they only do one show. So like you only do one show, and of course you want it to be the best show possible. Like my department, we do like five shows. So everybody gets an opportunity to kind of be at the front at some point. And I am very mindful of like trying to find opportunities to let kids have their moment in the sun. But everybody's good at something on stage. So I try to find shows where the kid who's good at being sassy gets to be sassy for more than two lines. You know what I mean? Like, it's just about figuring out what's going to fit your kids, but also shine a positive light on them.
Fair enough.
I think there is that whole, you know, what don't we know about the situation? Because, you know, we know that people are really quick to jump on teachers for X, Y, and Z. So there might be a Y floating around that we don't know.
What if this kid isn't telling us that, like, actually she is really mean to everyone and is a big bully, and so the director just puts her in the ensemble to keep her, like, from being mean to people?
Or what if she, this is going to sound so mean, and this is going to sound, I don't know, what if she's not as skilled as she thinks she is? And I definitely knew people in high school who thought they could sing and they could act.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I thought it'd be fun, instead of our normal silly questions, if we did something a little different today. So I've got this article written by Miss Shannon Reed from McSweeney's.net. If people talk to other professionals the way they talk to teachers, because people talk to us like we're idiots or assholes. And mm-hmm. so I thought we could each just take one of these and read it. So,
oh, a zookeeper. So you just babysit the animals all day.
Oh, God, that pisses me off. You're just a baby. It's worse when it's the admin treating you like that.
My colon never acts this way at home. Are you sure you're reading the colonoscopy results correctly? Did you ever think that maybe you just don't like my colon?
I really hate your colon, turd. I'm just going to say that.
I think it's pretty bad. Turd.
Excuse me, my 7-year-old son, who mere minutes ago lied about whether he had to pee or not, just told me that you wouldn't give him any ketchup, even though he says he asked for it politely. Now I'm going to ask the manager to move us to another server's table and also fire you. My name is Karen.
Yeah, that was my thought. You're a Karen.
Unfortunately, some servers like actually get that in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, here, can I do one? Because this is one that was really disturbing when I was dating. Damn, look at you in that dress. Now I'm hot for quality control manager for the Western division.
We talked about that when we had our dating episode.
I know. The amount of creepers out there who are like, oh, you want to teach me? No, fuck off.
It's been a long time since I had that, but in the very infancy of my teaching career, I got a whole lot of, I didn't have a teacher who looked like you.
It's so gross. It's so gross. It's so gross. Do you even read your patients' charts, or do you just assign them a random dosage based on how nice they've been to you?
Oh, God.
No, bitch, your kid earned that grade. They earned it by not doing anything.
They earned that dosage.
It's That's called right. a rubric, bitch. Oh, this one bothers me. Since you're a plumber and you're around them all day, I just have to ask, do you ever find one of your pipes attractive, even though you know you shouldn't go there?
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
I threw up in my mouth a little.
Anyway, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank all of the Patreon donors who have contributed and helping us getting along. We have a new episode in the Patreon for you guys, featuring all of the people you hear here today.
Woo! And Rosie Rose, who could not be with us tonight.
I'd like to thank my guest today, Ms. Shirley Temper. It was wonderful having you here.
It was wonderful to be here, Elvis.
Mr. Turd Ferguson, you're gross. Miss Sparkles, you are a delight.
Damn right.
Yep.
And Miss Bunny O'Hare, it was wonderful having you here.
A pleasure as always.
Turd, you can come back. Are you okay?
Did I hurt your pee-wee?
I muted him again, too. All right, folks, have a great day. And cheers! Thanks for joining us at the Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank our guests, Miss Sparkles, Miss Bunny O'Hare, Miss Shirley Temper, and Turd Ferguson, and also my very lovely Priscilla by my side. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday, and if you can, find one person and tell them about our podcast. It's the easiest way to spread the word. If you have something you'd like to share with us, you can tag us on Instagram, Facebook, on any of the social media, or you can go to our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com, and find us through the thing. Follow, subscribe, leave a review. That's everything, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye. Did you say your grandma was the Surgeon General?
No, my grandma's friend was the Surgeon General. She was actually the first doctor that I went to. Yeah, she got a whole bunch of shit about telling people, like, hey, don't have sex. Like, there's an AIDS crisis. Just masturbate. And people were like, oh my God, she's telling people to masturbate.
I'm going to clutch my pearls. I'm going to clutch my pearls. Yeah, there was some pearl
clutching. But apparently she was very nice. I don't remember my doctor's visit with her. But apparently she was a very nice lady. And she was really good friends with my grandma. I know a lot of weird people who've had general in their title now that I think about it.
Did they all give instructions about masturbation?
No. My cousin's best friend was the Attorney General of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait. This is like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I know. It's my life is weird, y'all. Just
maybe you should try to make his
again.
Like I just did that 3 weeks ago.
Wait, you work in weeks? Damn it!
You know, Mama's funny. Did you know Mama's funny?
You guys get laid?
Shut up. We know you're getting laid.
She and sexed each other like right in front of the podcast people.
It's true. I like him. He's fun.